the buzzer, McCord on its way.
Oh my goodness!
They have to get it. There's no timeouts. They do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to Courtside. We are definitive. We're a basketball podcast, a college basketball podcast. We are the world's greatest podcast on the sport of college basketball. We are undefeated for many years. Dan Dockage, by the way, before we get into just the conversation, how about my boy Junior? Andrew Dockage, flat balling. I'm dropping dimes, rebounding the ball, knocking down jumpers for the Ohio State Buckeyes. You know, personally, I think people are going to talk about Andrew Dockage and John Beilein like they talked about Dean Smith holding back Michael Jordan.
He did. Give him the rock, baby. Give him the rock. No, you know what? The one thing that I will say, and you've said this, Seth, Ohio State's better than people think, and he's got really good teammates. I mean, like Kata Bates-Diop and Jayshon Tate are they're big time ballers. I mean, these guys are no joke. Like, and you know, he's giving them a little something, but it's a long season. And I will say this: are you ready for something? You ready, Seth?
All right.
There are only three guys in college basketball that currently, with 100 minutes played, are in the 60-60-90 club, which is a 50-60-90 club, which is 50% field goal, 60% three-point shooting, and 90% free throw shooting. Stephen Jelks of Mercer, Rian Holland of Mercer, and Andrew Dockage of the Ohio State University, baby. There you go.
I tell you, that's a full-grown nugget right there. That is even a morsel. That's deep. That's deep in the research pack. I don't know if you researched it,
Ohio State researched it, or
my boy Junior researched it.
No, none of that. It was on Twitter. Somehow a guy named Jeff Thompson, I don't even know it's true, but apparently it was on the SEC network, and Jeff Thompson took a picture of it and sent it to me. So there you go.
I'm selling it as a fact.
Me too.
I'm selling it as a fact. All right. Besides Andrew Dockage yesterday, who was absolutely superb, there was a guy named Trey Young.
Ooh.
All right. Who, you know, look, it's Northwestern State. Nothing taking nothing away from Northwestern State. But, I mean, when a guy can drop the numbers he dropped yesterday and 22 assists in 29 minutes, and if you watch him, and we happened to watch that game, I mean, he is incredible in terms of his feel for the game, his range, his ability to read the defense, his ability to draw two defenders and make the right pass, which is not that easy. A lot of guys draw two defenders, make the wrong pass, and the team's running down the other end, laying it in. So,
right.
You know, to me, right. I mean, they say he's Steph Curry-esque. The guy is just really good. What's your take on it?
I did a game early, and I said on the air, you know, in an era where everybody wants to be Steph Curry, this is the guy that I've seen that's the closest. And here's why, Seth. I remember going back a while. Coach Knight was doing a Steph Curry game with Davidson, and he made a point, and I think I've talked about this on the show, that I really haven't thought about, which then was what a great passer he was. And, you know, we were out talking about the 29 he might drop, but, man, oh, man, that turned out to be right. And I'll say the same thing about Trae Young doing his game. Don't you sometimes get a feel when not a little guard, he's got enough size, but when a guard has the ball and scores all the time, sometimes he can just stop offense. You know, it can be a detriment. But his passing, it's not. And I have him on Friday. I can't wait. I'm going down there for their game against Northwestern, take out the state and add Brian McIntosh. And it should be a good game, I guess. But, Seth, I don't know that we've seen a guy like this in a while, have we? I mean, Chris Jackson.
Chris Jackson, he was good. How about playing for Lon Kruger? See, I think playing for Lon Kruger, a guy that has a little bit of an NBA background, a guy who's a really good guard coach. Obviously, Buddy Hield was pretty good, and he moved him around in different places. But the spacing they play with, and then the guys he's playing with, I mean, you know, Cameron McGusty and Christian James are proven players. You got Brady Maddock, the other freshman, who was ridiculous yesterday. You put him in a ball screen with Trae Young. If you switch it, Trae Young just basically obliterates the big on him, gets in the lane, and either makes the right pass or scores. If you blitz him, he just finds Manek, and Manek seems like he either makes a shot or makes a play. So I think you got to give Lon Kruger a lot of credit for getting him to understand the value of being, you know, making other guys better, and also the spacing they play with, don't you think?
Boy, Seth, you make a great point. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about the NBA influence. Because let's be honest. I mean, people can, you know, say whatever they'd like about college basketball versus the NBA, but the NBA understands spacing. You know, I mean, yeah. And they, right? I mean, they brought it into college basketball, and I think they've really enhanced college basketball. I think you're absolutely right. I do. I think
you can use that on a broadcast if you like.
I will. That will. Hey, look, there isn't anything on a Dan Dockich broadcast that is an original Dan Dockich thought. It is all stolen.
And there's some stuff that are original now. All this stuff that could get you fired is usually original.
But no, you're right, hey, Seth. You and I have talked about this. By the end of a podcast, you and I have eight teams in the Final Four, right? But that dude, he goes off, and Buddy Manek, I mean, Brady Manek, excuse me, and Big Daddy Latin in there blocking shots. It's a fun team, number one. It's a really good team, number two, and it's on a hell of a win streak, number three.
All right, so Trae Young is really good.
Yeah.
All right. Today, in this moment in time, all right, I'm going to give you a couple of my player of the year candidates.
Yes.
And I would actually have – Trae Young's been ridiculous. His numbers are insane. Now, I have Jalen Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he's not as flashy. And he's not going to play as many games on Broadway. Let's tell you, Trae Young, the Big 12 is must-see TV. There are no rocking chair games in that.
Right.
What I mean by rocking chair games is, you know, you get to the bench, you sit in a rocking chair, the ball goes up. You're going to win. I used to have it. San Jose State in the Big West was the greatest rocking chair game. I think I had, like, you know, 100 wins against them. And we were going to beat them. I mean, that's just the way it was. And I'd just sit back, kind of, all right, you go in, timeout, let's go. All right, there's no rocking chair games in that league. So, and the number of games they're going to have on TV is going to be ridiculous. So, I mean, for sure, Trae Young is going to get the boost out of that. But you got a guy like Brunson. All he does is make the right play. He makes shots. All they do is win. He's Mr. Fundamental. I got him as one of my candidates. I got Trey Holder at Arizona State, who's elevated a program to a level it hasn't seen since Fats Lever and Byron Scott as one of my guys. I still have Miles Bridges in that mix because he played hurt, had 33 the other night, 10 guys in double figures. That team's about winning. I got at least right now, I've got to keep him in my conversation. And then either DeAndre Ayton or Marvin Bagley, you could throw Blewett in there, but I'm thinking those two bigs, their numbers are kind of similar. I'm interested to see if either of them will decide to guard anyone. So those are my five. Who do you like?
Well, if we're talking player of the year, I have Trae Young in there now. But he's going to have to go to Kansas. You know, he's going to have to play Kansas. And I saw Kansas the other night. And those
How about West Virginia?
Yeah,
oh, my
yeah.
God.
He's going to have to do it against really good coaches scouting him really hard. And then that'll be interesting. Marvin Bagley, to me, what he did early in the year in the biggest of games, whether it was at Indiana or certainly Michigan – or not Michigan State. What was the one he had 35 in? I think he's in there. If you're going to ask me about All-American – I'm going to give you a couple guys that, again, this is my bias, right? But that I've watched a lot. And I'm telling you, nobody's going to have them on any All-American list, but they're playing as well as anybody in the country. One is Dakota Mathias at Purdue.
I love Dakota Mathias.
I'm telling you now, he gets, you know, he's a hard-working, scrappy. No, he scores. He makes big shots. He guards the other team's best player. He handles the ball. He never turns it over. I mean, again, you mentioned big stage. And the other guy I'll give you, and I swear to you, Seth, if I'm an NBA guy, I am studying this kid, Kata Bates Diop at Ohio State. I am studying him because I've watched, you know, obviously every game, and this dude does things easy. He shoots it easy. He rebounds easy. Those are two kind of Big Ten, I know, you know, under the radar guys.
I know you're going to hear you're a Big Ten homer.
But I've watched them, and I'm telling you, Dakota Mathias, really good. But I will say this, Trae Holder, to me, You give me Trey Holder. You give me two Treys, Trey Young. Bagley has been terrific. I don't disagree with the guys that you mentioned. The one guy who I think he's going to be – I think they're going to win national championship is Michigan State. I don't know about his game. I don't know about Miles Bridges' game for the NBA. I'm curious if he's got enough game. I don't know. I'm not saying he doesn't. I just don't know, but I think for Michigan State, 11-1, I think they're going to win the Big Ten, and I think they're a national championship contender, if not the favorite, because of him, because of his athletic ability and his ability in college.
You know the award that Dakota Mathias is going to win. I mean, like,
he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Maybe Defensive Player of the Year. He'll be the Blend Player of the Year. He'll be the Blend. Put him in the whatever they call it, the Blend thing. You know,
Put him in the Blender. There's a lot of guys like that, but I'm just telling you, he's really good.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Now, let me ask you, how many wins did you have in college as a coach?
Not many, 160 maybe.
All right, yeah, I had just under 400. Yeah. I would, you know what bothers me? They don't let me, we played exhibition games back then, what I mean? I mean, we played two a year, probably for, 15 years? I'm a little ticked off I don't get, I won those games. I was undefeated in the exhibition games. I don't understand why they don't count. I really don't. You know who doesn't have to count exhibition games?
Tell me.
Gino Auriemma and Sylvia Hatchell. Yeah, they don't have to count. Like, I'm a little ticked off. I'd have about 420 or 430 if they counted my exhibition games.
Which, yeah.
Were they games? Yes. Were they played? Yes. Did we win? Definitely. I don't know why they don't count.
I coached in our Junior Falcons League on Sundays when I was a head coach.
Oh, got a lot of wins there.
I got wins there. I mean, give me some wins, baby.
I mean, let's give them some wins. Now, think about this. We had a couple things. I'm going to give you we're going to talk about both coaches, but how about Gino Auriemma? Their average margin of victory in those 1,000 games. This is going to blow your mind. This is the stat of all stats. Is just under, you pick a number.
I'll say just under 24, 25, 20, just under 25.
Just under 29.
Jeez.
That's their average margin of victory. So you know what that tells me? I mean, like, to me, that tells me that Gino Auriemma, they don't play against their opponent. They play against their potential. It tells me even guaranteed games, I guess women's basketball plays guaranteed games, or when you play the bottom of the league or the most non-competitive games, it makes no difference. Because he basically challenges his team to compete against themselves. They never basically have an off night. You don't see them playing, a Tulsa and going into the fourth quarter in the women's game, it's a four-point game or a six-point game. They absolutely smack people because they compete and draw a line in the sand every play offensively and defensively. What's your take on that?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. What's interesting? I talked to Rebecca Lobo one time about it, and I did not know this, but Gino Auriemma turns down really good players if they don't fit. Like some of the players that he has had have been the best players in the country coming out. Don't get me wrong, and he has great recruiting classes. But it's not all about that for him. I didn't realize that. I just figured, you know what? He's getting everybody that's good and away you go. But he has a terrific understanding, obviously, of talent and culture and fit. I for one, believe Gino Auriemma would be a fantastic men's coach, fantastic any coach. I mean, whatever sport, whatever, Now, maybe people don't think so. I don't know, but I do. I think the guy can really coach. I think he has a great persona for coaching. I think he has a great persona around players. He reminds me a lot of Calipari, and he just seems bigger than it. He conducts himself bigger than you, bigger than your situation. Meaning, when Billy Gillespie came to Kentucky, I felt like Billy Gillespie had to earn Kentucky world respect because he wasn't bigger than them. When Cal came in, he was like bigger than them, and that's how I feel about Auriemma. I just think he's, you make the argument he's the most dominant, best coach there is.
Think about where that program was when he arrived, where it really wasn't a program. And then you got Sylvia Hatchell. Oh, you think about this now. She was at North Carolina for 30 1 year. Like, we're not going to see that again. I mean, the guys and women being at the same school for 31 years, and think about how women's basketball has changed. Think about how society has changed. Think about culture has changed. Yet, you know, this year she's got a team that people think are potentially a Final Four team. You know, to me, when you've lasted that long, you've been able to be progressive. You've been able to communicate. You've been able to change with the times, understand the game in a different way. Because let's face it, women's basketball has changed dramatically over the last 31 years. And yet Sylvia Hatchell's been able to do that and do it at the highest level. Pretty amazing.
You know what's amazing is you're able to adapt yourself, because one of the mistakes that I think I made in coaching was, look, I know this particular way works, so, you know, don't give in. Well, you know, when you're there 33 years and you're at a school that, I mean, let's be honest, the men's basketball program, you could rank as one of the top 2, 3, 4, whatever you want to do in the country over that 33 years. So it's not like they don't pay attention to basketball. And she's been, man, she's just been great. I just haven't seen her enough. Like you have Auriemma, it seems like if you're going to say women's basketball, you say Gina Auriemma. But Sylvia, she's been great. And I remember watching her team win national championship on an inbounds play back, you know, however many years ago. So good for both of them.
Well, we grew up with Gina Auriemma. I mean, let's face them. Like, since the time that you really started to watch women's basketball, why do you watch it? You watch it to watch Connecticut. I mean, that's just,
yeah, it's true.
That's just, are they going to, who, it's almost like, you know, why people in the Big Five go to watch Villanova games. They're waiting for Villanova to get beat.
Right.
They haven't gotten beat, but you know, why do you watch Connecticut women's basketball? Because you want to see if anyone can beat them, and, or they're winning their 400th game in a row, or they've got the best player, or they've, look, both coaches, and everyone does it a different way, but 1,000 wins. And here's the other one. In Gino Auriemma's last 854 games, he's 854. That's, how about that one for you? He's 800 wins and 54 losses.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's 80-5. Now, think about that. Do you think, like, if you were that dominant in whatever, would you get bored?
Would I get bored? I think because he has different teams and different personalities and they play different ways. It's just amazing. And, you know, speaking of different ways, how about, are you buying Arizona State?
Yes.
Are you buying the guards and Romello White and, you know, Shannon Evans and Trey Holder and Remy Martin and the whole, just, I mean, the hype? Are you buying it?
I am. What's not to buy? Really, what's not to buy? Like, I get that Kansas doesn't have, you know, maybe what we think Kansas has had in the past, but I just got back from Kansas, and what I saw was a pretty damn good basketball team with an unbelievable environment, and if you go ahead and beat them.
Smoked them.
Yeah, at their, I'm in on that. I just think that guys like you and me can sit there and say, well, they don't have the, okay, but all you got to do is watch them play, and that's a really good basketball team, particularly for modern-day basketball, you know, the Steph Curry era of basketball. And, yeah, I do buy them. I just, like, last night I'm driving home from Ohio State, and I see that they're close at half. I think it was with Long Beach. And I know Danny Munson's.
Longview.
Oh, okay.
Longwood.
All right, Longwood. Never mind. I thought it was Long Beach. It just said Long on Sirius. And I'm like, all right, they'll beat them by 100 in the second half. And, you know, that's who they are. My point is they weren't going to let down and let that game be close. I'm buying them. I'm buying them as a team.
Three little guards. 3 6-foot guards.
I mean, isn't that what we should be now?
Well, I'll tell you what, you definitely have to have guys, like, here's the thing that's impressive to me, and you lived in this environment, playing for Coach Knight, and the interesting thing is they shoot 40 from the three, yet they've taken like 120 or 130, I can't add in yesterday's game, more free throws than their opponent. Because they make the three, people have to come out and guard them, which gives them driving lanes to get in the lane, which they can then move the ball, drive it a second time, and get fouled. And that's a really good combination. And Romello White, the freshman who sat out last year, he's given them really good quality minutes. How do you compare them to the Novas, the Michigan States, the Dukes, the Carolinas?
I'm biased because I think Villanova, the game I watched, the game I did, they beat Temple and they beat them bad, man. It's hard for me because of the defensive presence of the two teams, Michigan State and Villanova. You know, Bridges is a really good defender, Brunson, and I think Michigan State's defense has been when it's needed to, other than, you know, Grayson Allen drilling threes over their head. I think they've been really good. I don't know that they can play those two teams. I think those two teams, because of their experience and the togetherness, have kind of separated a little bit. But it's hard for me to say it wouldn't go down to the wire with both teams. It's hard for me to
say. Definitely bother Duke, because if Duke plays that switching ball screen man-to-man, I can see Trey Holder and Shannon Evans just on a second ball screen, getting Bagley in a ball screen, getting a switch, and just doing what basically BC did potentially.
That's what I'm saying about, that's why I kind of think, even though Duke obviously has had great wins, one over Michigan State, I kind of think that those two teams, because of their defense and because of their defensive versatility, have separated themselves. So, look, again, I'm going to have 87,000 Final Four teams, but they're a Final Four team. I mean, what I would love to see, and again, I would love to see that place packed. You know, there's 100,000 kids there, and I mean, heck, my ex-wife was in the engineering school there as a counselor. She's like, Dan, there's 52,000 kids in the engineering school. Go to the damn basketball games. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you what, Tempe, a lot of stuff to do with Tempe now.
I know.
Jay Will told me he used to visit Tempe in the springtime when he was playing at Duke. I don't know how he was able to do that.
How do guys do that?
He was able to do that. I mean, I couldn't go to, like, Hoboken. Last thing, the next 10 days. Hoboken wasn't a great place to go to.
But no, it is now.
Next 10 days. Here's the thing. You're done with finals.
Yeah.
You're done with finals. League plays right around the corner. All right? So, like, to me, this was a really important time because – you got a couple guarantee games, but this is the last time all season long you can work on your team. You got your team back. There's no distractions of school. It's just you, your team, two-a-days, film, weights, extra shooting, special situations, and everything else that goes along with it. Don't you think this is an important time of the year for teams?
Oh, man. I'll give you something else, Seth. Most teams are going to go home, right? I know Ohio State gets to go home after Saturday's game for a few days. Here's the deal. Got to make sure everybody comes back.
Especially today. Someone could recruit a guy right off your team for that.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're a basketball player, and this is what I really like about modern kids, they're in the gym all the time. If you're a basketball player, you love this time. You're in the gym. You're with the coaches. You're not with the coaches. You're with your teammates. And maybe, I look back on this time as a player and like it more than I did at the time. But, Seth, look, there's no restrictions. You can be with your coach. You can go out and do things with your team. Try something different. Yeah, you can have a mini training camp for a few days. Absolutely. Now, there are a few things. Getting a team, getting kids back is one. And the second thing is you can wear a team out, too, during this time. Like, you got two-a-days and, hey, we're going to come in extra a little bit tonight and watch a little film. Or, coaches think it's great to get the team going bowling. Sometimes the team's like, damn, I just want to go home and watch a bowl game. So you got to be a little careful with that. But I agree, this is the best time. Last time you get a chance, no question.
I agree. You know what else is great?
Talk to me.
I'll tell you what else is great. One of the great things, I think, this time of the year, you got people around, you got family. You eat at home a little more. You know what I mean? I mean, when you eat at home a little more, you want it to be easy. And, when I think of easy and good food and healthy, I think of Blue Apron. Blue Apron delivers fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door. That can be cooked in 45 minutes. That's what I'm talking about. You get it in, you make it, it's delicious, it's family, you have time to talk and kibitz, that's what Jewish people do. All right. The menu changes every week based on what's in season and designed by Blue Apron's in-house culinary team. You and I have teams. They have a culinary team only using non-GMO ingredients and meat with no added hormones. You know, I'll tell you one thing. My favorite experience, you know, you get the Blue Apron. You kind of get all the recipes out there. You know, you get all the ingredients. And then you know what? I say, honey, I don't know how to do this. Can you help me here? And she goes, you're an idiot. You should know how to do this. She helps me put it together. You can sit down, have a nice meal, or obviously have the whole family together. Variety of meals. I'll tell you one thing. Every single month, it doesn't get any better. Spicy shrimp. I mean, cabbage, toasted breadcrumbs. It doesn't get any better.
Seth, and here's the beauty of it. Let's face it. Around the holidays, everybody's tired, right? I mean, you think, like, Christmas and Hanukkah just doesn't happen, people. So we all like to eat dinner, but Blue Apron makes it easy. Here's a couple of the plans. Two-person meal plan meals that serve two people. Choose from 8 new recipes per week with a choice to receive 2 or 3 new recipes every week. Do you know how much easier that makes it for your family? How about a family meal plan?
Easy.
Yeah, 4 people. Choose from 4 new recipes per week with a choice to receive either 2, 3, or 4 recipes any week. And as Seth said, even guys like us can do it. And then, of course, the most important part of Blue Apron, the wine plan. 6 bottles of wine from renowned winemakers delivered every month, Seth Greenberg. And as anybody that knows the Greenbergs, they know it is all about the wine.
Kara Greenberg, when you come, the good wine comes out. I say, why are you bringing a good wine out for Dockett? She doesn't know the difference anyway. But I'll tell you one thing about Blue Apron. Blue Apron is treating courtside listeners to their first 3 meals, a $30 value with your first order. If you visit blueapron.com/Seth, that's S-E-T-H. So check out this week's menu and get your $30 off with free shipping. Free shipping, it's the holiday spirit. At blueapron.com/Seth. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. We'll be back in a minute with Oklahoma head coach Lon Kruger, and we'll take some of your questions. We'd like to welcome in Oklahoma head coach Lon Kruger. Coach, you're talking to two basically fired coaches that have been undefeated for a number of years. But watching your team play this year, watching your team in general with Trae Young, you've coached a lot of great players. You've obviously coached in the NBA as well. Did you know he was this good?
Didn't have any idea that he would do statistically what he's doing at this point. We knew he was very skilled. We knew he could shoot it. We knew he was fast. But no one could have projected him to do, really in 10 consecutive games. He's not had an average game. He's been unbelievably consistent, making great decisions and producing at ridiculous numbers. So, no, I don't think anyone could have projected that, but we're very pleased.
Obviously, he's so good in ball screens. And the other freshman, Brady Manick, obviously, to me, I said it last night, they're almost connected at the hip, especially in the different angle ball screens you put him in. But having, like, Christian James and Cameron McGusty and Kadeem Latin, those guys that have been through it all, how have they adjusted to him and how has he adjusted to them?
It's been a pretty easy transition. Of course, the guys knew him really well. You know, after his sophomore, junior year, senior year, he's playing pickup games in the summertime. We had the good fortune of the foreign trip this past July where we had 10 extra days of practice, 12 days of travel, 4 games on the trip. So all that combined, I think, helped make the transition pretty easy. You know, Trae knew those guys. He liked those guys. Our guys knew Trae and liked him. So that part of it really was probably easier than maybe what it should have been.
Hey, Coach, we talked earlier, Seth and I did, about the NBA influence of spacing, high ball screen, side ball, all that kind of actions. Did you being in the NBA, has that helped you with a guy like Trae? Has it helped you with spacing? What have you brought from the NBA to this particular Oklahoma team?
It helps just in so many ways. I mean, you're playing 90 games a year, so just the experience of it and all the different situations and all the different things that go on in 90 ball games, it has to have some impact. So yeah, we take a little bit from a lot of different people and we watch scout tapes and we like something, we put it in. So none of it's our idea. but like all coaches, we borrow from each other and apply it to your personnel. And certainly when you got a Trey and a Brady Manick and Christian James, it's pretty easy to apply a lot of different stuff.
Hey, you know to that point, you know, I was going kind of through Trey Young's Twitter last night, and obviously he's getting a lot of accolades, and a lot of it is comparisons to Steph Curry. Do you do anything with that? Do you show him Curry taking good shots? Do you do anything to show him or maybe his teammates Steph Curry clips or what he does or how he does it?
We show him clips of various players, not just Steph Curry, but anyone that usually it's you know, motivational stuff. You know, like we showed him a clip last night of LeBron and Kobe at the 2008 USA, you know, trials camp where they're talking to each other and they're pumping each other up and they're taking the initiative to, you know, set that pick a little different angle. And so we're encouraging our guys to take the initiative, you know, figure it out. Don't wait to be told everything. So we're trying to promote that next level. And we do that through use of tapes like that, but not necessarily only basketball stuff as much as communication, talking, leadership. You know, people, the best players in the world are talking on the floor, which, you know, sometimes players don't think it's cool to talk. And they want to look easier than that. But when they see the best players doing it, then that makes it easier for us to reinforce the need to do that.
Coach, you have a unique philosophy just in general, about your program and the responsibility it has almost in the community. We had a game day there a couple of years ago, and your practices are absolutely open to anyone and everyone. And then after practice, whether it's kids or community members, you can see them interacting with your team. When did you start that, and what do you think the value of that is in a time where everyone's kind of buttoned down and worried about everything? Your team is actually an open book each and every day.
Well, we have fun with it. We really do. And no, we don't take ourselves too seriously. You know, I try to put myself, if I'm a player, you know, I like people being in the gym at practice. If I'm a player, I like shooting around with kids and families after practice. If I'm a player, I want the other students on campus to be at practice and get to know them a little bit. So we try to create that atmosphere, and it is fun. I think our players enjoy mixing and shooting, playing horse with 10-year-olds and their dads after practice. I like dads coming with their kids and enjoying practice. I just think it's a platform we have that we can take advantage of and promote things in the community. And yeah, we want it to be the community's team, the university's team. It's not my team. It's not, you know, the coaching staff's team. It's everyone, I think, shares ownership in it, and I think it makes it more fun.
Has that changed, Coach? Is that totally different from how you were maybe as a young coach?
Probably over, you know, 35 years ago we didn't
yeah,
do
right.
that. But yeah, it's, you know, a lot of things have changed, of course. But we had been doing the open practices for a long time. You know, I think, I don't remember when we started it, but it was more than 20 years ago. And we've always encouraged people to come out to practice, encouraged business people to bring their clients, encouraged families especially to come out and enjoy, you know, time together. Again, our players, it's really fun. Jamoney McNeese is a kid at heart. He's out there dunking on kids after practice and blocking 8-year-old shots. And I mean, and kids taking pictures. And why not?
And you talk about family. You also have your own family on your staff. I mean, how is it to have Kevin with you? Obviously, you know, you've had other shared experiences with him, but how cool is that to share this team and this job at this stage in your coaching career with your son?
That's great. Yeah, it's great. We got a great staff. You know, Chris Crutchfield's been with us 7 years here, and Carlin Hartman came in when Steve Henson and Lou Hill got jobs a couple years ago. Carlin Hartman and Kevin joined our staff. You know, when your son, you know, leaves for college, you really don't expect to be around him that much on a daily basis ever again. And we've had the good fortune, of course, Kevin went to Arizona State and graduated there and then played 1 year for us at UNLV, and that was fantastic. And then now to have him back on our staff full time every day, and his fiance, and then we got a lot of fun things going on, and it's great to have him around every day for sure.
Hey, Coach, an overview of the Big 12. You know, Seth said it earlier, man. There's no rocking chair games. Everything seems to be, you know, up and down. Let's go. Let's play. What's your sense?
That's exactly the way it is. I mean, most conferences have, you know, the five or six teams at the top that are all pretty good, and you expect that. But then you've got some others that you kind of, you know, can play maybe less than your best and win. And we don't have that in the Big 12. I mean, I think that's what separates the Big 12. If you don't play well, you're definitely not going to win. That's basically the way it is. If you do play well, you still may not win. But you just can't get by with less than an above-average performance, whether it be on the road, at home. You know, we're going to have five, six, seven teams ranked in the Big 12, and the other three, whoever they are going to be pretty good too.
It seems like there's a hell of a lot of different styles in your league.
There are. Probably in every league to a certain degree. But I think in our league, I mean, the other coaches in the league are unbelievably good. I think that's to be said for all leagues, of course. But you just you know, you're going against people, teams that are really well prepared every night. They're taking away what you like to do. As you know, in conference play, you get very familiar, and it's hard to keep doing what you've done in non-conference, perhaps. And that's a challenge. You try to keep doing what you do in practice and try to keep your opponent from doing what they do every day in practice. But yeah, Big 12's a lot of different styles, but they're all pretty solid at heart.
Coach, start of the season, we obviously had some news about our sport that was not good, you know, with the FBI investigation. What went through your mind? I mean, you've been in this thing a long time. You've coached at all different levels. You've left to go to the NBA. You've come back. You've taken multiple teams to the Final Four. What's been your take on it, and what do you think if you could be the commissioner of our sport for a day, what's the one thing you'd like to see happen?
Yeah, you have mixed emotions about that because you got a lot of friends in the coaching fraternity. You hate to see bad things happen to anyone. On the other hand, when you think about the sport and our game, you know, there probably needed to be a correction. There's so many other people involved in what we're doing today, and there's so many, you know, people influencing, you know, the prospects' decisions and the recruiting process. It's tough. It's tough. The NCAA, obviously, they, you know, unfortunately don't have the clout to execute what they'd like to execute, you know, from a compliance standpoint. But the FBI does. So you hate to see that happen. And yet, on the other hand, you just don't want to see it get worse and worse and worse either. You know, a lot of really good people have been fired that have gotten, you know, beat by people that have done it the wrong way. So I got mixed emotions on that. You hate to see anything bad happen to people. But on the other hand, if there are rules, they need to be followed. And it's not, well, other people are doing it, so I can do it. It just doesn't work that way. So I think there needs to be a correction. And hopefully, you know, in the long run, the game will be better for it.
You've done this for a long time. Still enjoy it as much as you used to?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, again, as you know, never really thought about it being work, of course. Every year it's unique because every year it's a new experience for that particular team. And you want for them exactly what you wanted for each of the other 40 years or whatever. And that's the challenge, you know, is to make it, you know, as productive and as great of an experience for the young people each year as you possibly can. And in the process, help them develop the habits where they can go on and be successful in basketball or as a parent or other walks, whatever they do. So it's a unique challenge. It's a fun challenge. And when you got 15 young guys, 12, 13, 14, whatever, you know, it's interesting every day, and it keeps you on your toes. And yet it's very satisfying to see young people mature and develop and feel good about their experience and also have an even better foundation for the rest of their life.
That's awesome. Coach, thank you so much for your time. Happy holidays to you and your family, and continued success. Your team is fun to watch.
Thanks, Seth. Thanks, Dan.
And here they come, folks. Here they come.
It's time for you to storm the podcast. Let's hear from the student section.
All right, guys, our first question of the day comes from a Caleb Martin. He thinks that UVA and Tony Bennett deserve some more coverage. Their ability to bounce back in the top 25 year after year with players people have never heard of is more than impressive. Seth?
Well, people have heard of Kyle Guy and some of those other dudes. Isaiah Wilkins has been there forever. But, if you followed Seth on Hoops, you would see when Seth on Hoops talking ball with Jake the Wonder Dog the other day while walking through the streets of Avon, we talked about the Virginia Cavaliers, and we talked about the maturity that they had and the development of their guard play and their toughness in their system. But I do agree that now we're going to get into league play, and the ACC is going to be on TV every single day, and people will be talking more about the Cavs, but the Cavs off to a great start.
I think that while I would agree to a certain degree about people that, you know, you've not really heard of, because let's be honest, early in the year, what do we talk about? Who's doing what in Maui? Who's doing what in Champions? Who's doing what, you know, at these different events? And really, they weren't there. They played a just brutal game against Wisconsin in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. But no, I'm with you. And, you know, Ty Jerome has played well here of late. And I think that Kyle Guy was Mr. Basketball here in Indiana. He lost a man bun, and now he's starting to play, you know, really well. So, look, Virginia is Virginia. They're going to punch you in the teeth. Nobody scores 70 points against them all year. Probably nobody will. And, you know, they'll roll on. But, again, yeah, they're going to play Duke. They're going to play all the teams that you see on TV, and they'll be fine with coverage.
All right, our next and last question of the day comes from a Paige Greenberg. Who is that? I don't know what the relation is.
God,
she's wondering what's on Coach K's Christmas list.
What's on Coach K's Christmas list? I'll tell you what's on Coach K's Christmas list. You see, there's Duke and then there's Ook. You see, that's Duke without the D. So I think what's on Coach K's Christmas list is a defensive identity. Right now, Duke tries to outscore you. Right, what they need to do to win a national championship is develop a defensive identity, whether it's man or zone. They got to figure out how they're going to guard ball screens, and they got to figure out how they're going to play. They got these two big guys that are terrific and dominate you in the paint, but it's harder defensively to guard all those random ball screens and secondary ball screens and ball reversals, and you know you can't be as physical. So I think Coach K is looking for some defense under his Christmas tree.
Boy, that's hard to argue right there. I think, like everybody that's in coaching, Coach K is looking for someone that knows how to hook him up with this podcast, number one. I think he needs a Seth Greenberg bobblehead, number two. So if the lovely Paige Greenberg could go find and dig one up and maybe call the basketball office and get him hooked up on this podcast, I think that would be fine. But I also think what Coach K would like, I think he wants, like, how about we just have a no drama year? How about we just have a team that goes out and does what they do, and we don't have to worry about kicking, screaming, punching. We don't have to worry about any of it. We just play. Because I do think this, Seth, if Duke just plays and doesn't have whatever, you know, has, you know, transpired with Grayson Allen or stuff, I think you're looking at a national championship type team. And I think you're looking at a team that will continue to get better. And obviously he's as good a coach as there's ever been in the business. So I just think he needs a Seth Greenberg bobblehead, a hookup to this podcast to help him coach. And of course, no stuff, and he'll be just fine.
There you have it. I'll tell you one thing. I mean, you know, we'd like to ask Coach K, first of all, thanks for listening, and we appreciate Coach Kruger coming and joining us and hanging out a little bit. And Coach K, you might want to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast, Coach K. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Hopefully it'll be a good one. And have a happy holidays. And Coach Dan Dockich, former coach, and I will talk to you next time.
I can't wait. And happy holidays to you, Gabe, everybody. The Greenberg family is just spectacular. And real quick, prayers. I have a friend named Jace who is 6 years old. He is going in for basically brain surgery today, and he's all smiles. And my prayers are with my friend Jace.
I'm all for that, brother.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockich. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.